Ephesians 6. We turn our Bibles to Ephesians 6 this evening. And reading the verses 10 through 20, which records for us the various pieces of the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So far we read in Ephesians 6, the text for the sermon is the first portion of verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Finally, brethren, put on the whole armor of God. Beloved congregation, that is the standing order and command of the captain of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the opening verses that introduce this final section of the book of Ephesians, a section which sets forth the whole armor of God that the Christian soldier is to wear, that you and I are to put on. Recall from the last time that when we considered this standing order and command, we noted that every piece of this armor is important. And that's because every piece of this armor comes from God. He planned it. He prepared it, and he has graciously provided that for us. And therefore, we are to put it on. Every piece of it, without any exceptions. We are to put on and have it on everywhere and at all times. Why? The reason for that is simple. It is because our great enemy, the devil, hates us with an unrelenting hatred and never ceases to attack us. Besides his wiles and methods of attacking us, behind him, you understand, stands also a massive, powerful army under his command, an army of demons which he can unleash against us at any time. We have a very powerful, powerful adversary. And therefore, the purpose of God in giving us this armor and our captain in commanding us to put it on is so that we might be successful against this great enemy. That we not fall in battle, but stand and turn back the enemy. So, fellow soldiers of Jesus Christ with me, is that not what you and I want to accomplish for our captain, for our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ? That being the case, tonight we consider in depth the very first piece of the armor of God, the girdle of truth, which, as we will see, is also the foundational piece of armor. Without this girdle of truth, none of the other pieces of armor will do us any good. We need, beloved, a clear conviction that God's word is truth, and truth that we can so rely on for our hearts and lives, our entire life and living here on this earth. In other words, we need to put on this girdle of truth that we may stand with it in battle for our Lord. So consider with me the girdle of truth. In the first place, we notice what is truth. In the second place, putting on the girdle of truth. And in the third and final place, standing with it. People of God, what is truth? What is truth? Now realize that when we ask the question, our attitude may not and must not be like that of Pontius Pilate, who asked exactly that question in John chapter 18, verse 38. To Jesus' statement that he had come into the world as king to bear witness to the truth, and that everyone that is of the truth hears his voice, Pilate had responded to what Jesus said with that question. What is truth? What is truth? And the tone of those words is an attitude of mockery, suggesting that these words that our Lord spake was utter nonsense and not important. What is truth? You come to bear witness of the truth? Truth is unknowable. Truth is all relative. Truth is something which man decides. Man decides what truth is and comes up with truth. All that is implied by the tone in which Pontius Pilate spake those words. What is truth? But people of God, we should understand that contrary to Pilate's thinking, truth is knowable, not unknowable. That truth is not relative, but that there is an absolute standard of truth. Jesus himself very much teaches that by way of implication when he spoke of the truth in the Gospels in many places. And truth, beloved, is vital and absolutely important. The scriptures bear abundant testimony to this. In the Old Testament, in the book of wisdom, especially Proverbs, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That's how important truth is. Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Those are just some examples in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, perhaps John, it is the gospel writer John under inspiration who emphasizes truth most of all. John 4, 24, as you heard in the call to worship, God is spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. John 8, verse 32, Jesus says, the truth shall set you free. And then in that high priestly prayer of our Lord in John 17, sanctify them, sanctify his people, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There will be no sanctification without that truth. That's how important truth is. So specifically we ask, what is truth? And really, it's not all that difficult, in fact, rather simple to spell out what truth is. What is truth? Truth is what is real. Not non-real, that's the lie, that's fiction, but real. Truth is what is real. Truth is reality. Truth is what gives expression to reality. And in the Old Testament, the idea of truth is this: that which is firm, sure, certain. Well, that being the case, beloved, it is absolutely important that this whole concept of truth be clearly and fully developed. So, where do we begin? Where do we begin developing this concept of truth? We begin with God. You never go wrong when you begin there. So let's understand, beloved, first of all, that God is truth. Apart from God, there is no truth. This is also fundamentally why truth is not relative, but absolute. It is the truth. And still more, God being knowable, children, are you listening? You know God, don't you? Certainly then, we know God, so God is knowable. In God being knowable, truth also is knowable. He's the God of truth. Boys and girls, God is truth, meaning He is real. You can't see Him. You can't touch Him. You can't see Him and touch Him for a good reason, only because He is spirit. He's not flesh. He's not of the earth. But know that He is real. The triune God is real. Father is real. Son is real. Holy Spirit is real. His attributes are real. He is holy. He is righteous. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is plenteous in love. Oh yes, He is love. That's real. He is real. His attributes are real. And of course, all of His wonderful works are real. Real and true. Creation is real. Certainly what we see of it is real. It's not fiction. Providence is real. The sun rises and sets every day. That's part of God's providence. And yes, salvation is real. We spoke of the kingdom of God being within us in the morning sermon. It's real. God is truth. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate, is also truth. And again, it is John who bears witness to this truth, perhaps most profoundly and most emphatically in the Gospels under inspiration. John 1 verse 14, right away he gets going in the first chapter, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And just three verses later, in verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that means, beloved, that means that salvation and the truth of salvation, which makes bad and ugly sinners truly good and beautiful, comes from Jesus. Jesus, who is Jehovah Salvation Himself. And that also means, beloved, that Christ stands at the heart and center of truth. And so very fittingly, Jesus declared of himself in one of those I am sayings, seven if you count the last one in John 8:58, eight I am sayings. This one, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Meaning, I am the way to the Father, the only way, because I am the truth and the life. I not only have life, I am the life. I am the truth. In other words, Christ, his salvation, his redemption, his perfect obedience, and his cross is at the very core and center of truth. And there's all kinds of implications. One major one, perhaps the most major one, being this. When and where there is no God and no Christ, there is no truth. So that all the religions of the world are vain, vanities, and lies. With that being the case, beloved, where do we find truth? The truth of Jesus Christ. Where do we find it? Children, where do you find truth? Well, the all-important source of truth, you know that, don't you, is, children, the Bible. God's inspired word of truth, the Bible. The entire contents of the Bible is wholly of him, inspired word of truth. It's breathed by God, breathed by the Holy Spirit. It's wholly of him, by him, and not man. Now, to be sure, God used human instruments to give us the Bible, but they are only instruments. The Holy Spirit breathed the Bible word for word, every word, through these men that he used. It is the Holy Spirit of truth who worked in and through those men, who breathed the word through them to give us every single word, word for word, recorded in the Scripture. So children, that's why it's so important that you're going to a Christian school, that you receive a Christian education. That's why it's so important that you get catechized at church. That's why your parents spend time reading the Bible to you from the youngest of ages. This is the all-important source of truth. Every one of the 66 books of the Bible is truth. Major prophets, minor prophets, the smallest books in the Bible, every one of them is important. Inerrant truth, infallible truth, and truth that is complete. That's right, the Bible is complete truth. Nothing shall be added to it, nothing shall be taken away from it, and nothing shall be amended. No change. It is perfectly fine. And all of what I said is important. That being the case, do we know this book well? Do we understand it well? For the Bible is God's complete source of truth. It is so very important that we recognize that. And yet, having said that, that is still not enough. It is one thing that we understand truth, that we acknowledge the God of truth and his Son. It is one thing also that we acknowledge his word is the word of truth. But it is quite another that we believe it, that we embrace it, that we are convicted of it, confident of it, that we have it close to our hearts, our minds, that we have confidence to live out of it, to use it and to use it well and to use it confidently, to rely on it completely for how we must think, how we must act, how we must speak, how we must prioritize our lives, that we rely on it also as the forecast of things to come yet in the future. All its principles and all its priorities are for me. It's even more important that we be able to say that. And beloved, that's what putting on the girdle of truth is all about. We don't shrug our shoulders and we say, we don't know, after having memorized Scripture and learned Scripture. We rely on the knowledge of Scripture and live off of it. Put on the girdle of truth. Now understand that when the apostle speaks of the girdle or belt of truth, that's what the girdle is, a belt. Belt of truth, he is of course alluding to a figure. The figure of a Roman soldier. Don't forget, the apostle is in prison. And probably standing before him are Roman soldiers 24/7, guarding him every day, every hour while he was in prison. And so he took notice of what they wore, their military uniform, and that created such an impression upon him. How was the Roman soldier attired? Well, when fighting or combat ready, the Roman soldier had his entire armor on. Not off, but on. Not on a rack for display. That's so beautiful, but he had it on. What did he have on? His breastplate, covering the torso of his body. His helmet, protecting his head. His shield, giving him general protection. His sword, and yes, even his shoes. Those were special military shoes. Now those, of course, are the obvious pieces of his armor. But there was one piece of armor that wasn't so obvious. You might even miss it if you just take only a cursory look at the Roman soldier. And that piece is just as, if not more important than every other piece that was clearly visible. And that piece is none other than his military girdle or belt. This girdle or belt was a piece of equipment that, as we all know with belts, was worn around the waist, located then at the center of his body. It held in place his tunic. Now, what is his tunic? The tunic was, of course, in those days, a long flowing garment that the Roman soldiers wore, that went all the way down to the ground. Now, in order then to be prepared for battle, he would have to tie up that tunic and have that tunic held in place. And this is where the girdle comes in. After tying it up, the girdle is used to hold the tunic in place. So now with the girdle, the Roman soldier would not trip and fall over his tunic. No longer that would be the case, but rather he would be able to move freely wherever he wanted to, and quickly and freely, and therefore be prepared for battle in that way. But also, the girdle prepared him for battle in another important way. This was, you understand, the foundational piece of armor that held every other piece in place. His tunic, his breastplate, his sword, this was the foundational piece of armor that held everything else in place. So then, without the girdle, none of these pieces of armor would be held in place. This then was a foundational piece of armor. Well, that's the figure. The reality of the Christian soldier of you and I called to fight the good fight of faith is similar with regard to our spiritual girdle, our girdle for spiritual warfare, the girdle of truth. God's truth and conviction of it in our heart of hearts. Conviction of God's truth. God's truth and conviction of it is absolutely needed for the Christian soldier and described as the Christian soldier's girdle or belt. It causes us to be prepared for battle and prepared in two ways. Number one, it keeps us from tripping and falling on the lies and half-truths of the devil, which are all around us. All around us in the world and also in our old man of sin within us. And therefore, it also allows us then to move freely from place to place and fight. That first. And then number two, it is a foundational piece of armor. Holding together all the other pieces of our armor. So take, for example, now our breastplate. This girdle of truth holds our breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness, in place. How exactly does it do that? So a little bit of a sneak preview to the contents of next week's sermon on the breastplate of righteousness. How does it exactly do that? Well, the breastplate is the piece of armor protecting the upper torso of our body, especially the heart, which is the spiritual core and center of our being. And the devil loves to attack our heart. So now, when our enemy attacks us by accusing us of sin and challenging us and asking us, how can you, with your sin, be a child of God? We stand ready to use, with the girdle on, we stand ready to use the Bible, and in particular, the Bible's teaching on our justification, being totally confident about the Bible as the source of infallible truth. That first, and therefore applying that truth to ourselves. And so we say, with our girdle of truth on and breastplate of righteousness, we say to the devil, we're perfectly righteous. We're perfectly righteous, not in and of ourselves, but out of ourselves in Jesus Christ. We are justified by a foreign righteousness freely imputed to us, charged to our account by faith. Just as Abraham and David were in the Old Testament, just as the Apostle Paul himself, as mentioned in Romans chapters 3 through 5, so also am I, are we all who believe in Jesus Christ. He who has his girdle of truth in place will not shrug his shoulders when it comes to this assault, frontal assault by the devil. He will say these things with confidence. He will be able to say these things with conviction because he is totally confident that that's that what Scripture says, what this book says in print out there, applies to him. And so, relying completely upon it, he applies this wonderful biblical truth of justification in all of its aspects upon himself. And that's how he defends himself against the devil with regard to that specific attack. And that's just one way, just one of many ways, his breastplate of righteousness, God's righteousness in Jesus Christ, serves to protect him. But don't forget where it all begins. It all begins with this girdle of truth being put on, this foundational piece of armor, this girdle of truth which holds in place this breastplate of righteousness, protecting his heart and protecting his other vital organs of his body. Therefore, he who has the girdle of truth in place will also be ready and be prepared and be in a good position to use all the other pieces of the armor of God, including, and very importantly, his sword. He's not going to stab in the air. He's going to stab purposefully to thwart the enemy's advance, to turn back the enemy, and then to counter-attack him. That is the girdle of truth put on by the Christian soldier. Dear congregation, that description of putting on and using the girdle of truth together with the breastplate of righteousness held in place by that girdle is something that's well familiar to you, is it not? You have put on and used the girdle of truth and know just how important and foundational it is to your entire safety and well-being in battle, don't you? And you are keenly conscious of the fact that you are in a deadly battle, fighting for Camp Christ against Camp Devil, aren't you? If so, then you also know just how Christian soldiers who have this girdle on look like. How do they look like? Number one, they're at church regularly. Not merely physically, but spiritually. Their gaze is upwards towards heaven as they sing, as they do the activities of public worship. Their gaze, spiritual gaze, is directed towards him. Spiritually also, they relate to the preaching with a keen and alert mind and a ready heart and spirit that is ready and willing to subject all the thoughts of the heart to that word. He who has this armor on, this girdle of truth on, will be present in the worship services, physically, mentally, spiritually. And as much as possible too, he's also present and active at Bible studies. Still more in the second place, Christian soldiers who have this girdle put on are also ones who are constant with personal and family devotion. Not merely reading the Bible chapter at a time and then shutting the book and be done after 5 minutes as going through the motions, but someone who takes to heart what is read. who interacts with what is read, who reflects upon what is said and what is read. Someone who is thoughtful, who, if he is a father, mother, thoughtful about asking the questions that are most suitable and helpful to the children, explaining the parts which they especially should know and applying it to their lives. In other words, people who have the girdle of truth on are diligent. They're on the ball. They're zealous about these things because they know in their heart of hearts their need for God's word of truth, and God's word of truth not only heard on Sundays, read at the dining table, but God's word of truth living and operating within him, governing him in all his motions, his thoughts, his ways. He's close up to the word. He knows the word as his friend. And he stands ready to apply that word, every aspect of that word, in his heart and life. He is diligent in all these things. Why? Because he understands his constant and urgent need to put on this girdle of truth. Why is that the case? Because a powerful adversary is always waiting to attack him, to attack without ceasing, the devil, literally, who is the accuser, who is the commander-in-chief of a legion of demons, who uses the world and knows how to use our very own flesh against us. Yes, indeed, we all know that God is absolutely sovereign and all-powerful. That's truth. That's reality. But we should also know the reality of the devil and his host from Scripture. That too is truth and reality. And how the Word of God warns us that he is as a roaring lion looking for its prey, to devour its prey. And he is a powerful, powerful enemy who has caused some of the bravest soldiers of Jesus Christ to experience melancholy falls. He has his wiles, his methods, and he has his equipment, his whole bag of tricks, his weaponry, together with over 6,000 years of experience in running his cunning and deceiving schemes, all with the purpose of destroying us. He knows the Bible. He knows it better than we do. And he is deceitful and knows how to twist it ever so subtly to use it to attack us. He did that with Eve. He attacked Job. He tempted our Lord 3 times in the wilderness. Will he therefore not attack you and attack me? Dear congregation, will you not put on the girdle of truth? Doing so is the only way for our young people and young adults to be kept safe. Our maturing young people and young adults who are knowing and understanding more and more of the Scriptures, it's not just the knowledge, it's holding that knowledge close to your heart and mind, relying on it, living off of it. Our young people and young adults will be kept safe from the corrupting influences that are all around them. Bad friendships, bad habits, bad speech, bad philosophy, bad thoughts from the world. Doing so is the only way for our marriages and our families to stay strong, in the law. There's so much negative talk about abuse and sexual abuse. He who has his girdle of truth on is ready to build on his marriage relationship with the help and strength of the Lord. Doing so also is the only way for us as church, KPRC, to be an effective fighting force united in the Lord, and therefore also an effective witness for him to our community. Doing so, therefore, we stand in battle, standing with, not without, but with the girdle of truth. That's the only way to stand in combat, not without it, but with it, and with it tightly on. Without it, we fall. Without it, we fail. But with it, we stand. And standing means we're able to withstand our enemies' attacks, even counter them, push back against the enemy with the strength of Christ, who is the captain of our salvation. Christian soldier, we have every incentive to put on this girdle of truth, to fight and to stand, don't we? We heard various motivations with regard to seeking the kingdom of God in the morning. Those are applicable here as well. And besides, personally, don't we personally want ourselves to stand and not fall in battle? And don't we want KPRC to stand and be strong in the Lord? Beloved, we are thankful Christian soldiers, aren't we? Thankful to God in Christ for saving us, taking us out of camp devil and transplanting us into camp Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, we are privileged to bear arms and be part of Christ's victorious army, for ours through him is certain, sure, final, and complete victory. Let us therefore be an encouragement to fellow Christian soldiers and thereby be witnesses of Jesus Christ together to a world enslaved in sin. And who knows, God might be pleased to use us to draw more into his army here at KPRC and have us therefore to be a powerful force for good. Amen. Bless this word, O Lord. More and more work in us that we and our children put on what has been so graciously and wondrously supplied us, that which is called this girdle of truth. That having it on, we have all the other pieces on, using those pieces singly and in combination to be effective soldiers of thine. Bless us, grant us grace to face the world in the week ahead in all that we do. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.